Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. All right. Actually, a lot to get to today. Not that there isn't normally a lot to get to. This is one of my favorite bits, though. The beginning of a show. Which was so much to get to today. And there are days where there's not as much to get to. And it's just funny to hear people say it when I know that, you know, on a particular day, yeah, you don't really have that much to get to, buddy. But there is a lot to get to today, given it is October. And October is the best sports month of the year. You know, everything is going on simultaneously. Baseball playoffs last night. You have the Giants beating the Dodgers in game one of that series. Obviously, you've got the WNBA playoffs as well. Finals set there. You've got the NFL. Some news out of the NFL. Russell Wilson could miss 4 to 8 weeks. Heavyweight fight tonight. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. I'm excited for that one. And we will start with the NFL, but not in the way I wanted to be honest with you. You know, like I just said, there's plenty of stuff we will get to. And I would rather get to. It's not like, this is not the kind of story I see and I go, oh, I can't wait to talk about that. But I think it's going to be a big story, and therefore it is what we'll be talking about to begin this here program. And I was at my son's practice yesterday, and, you know, like, I work on putting my phone away, because when my kids have told me, Daddy, you're on your phone too much, that's a good sign that you're on your phone too much, right? So I've made it a conscious effort to try and put my phone away in certain situations, live in the moment and all that. But we are all there. You've all been there. I'm sure you're at something and you're not totally locked in and you're scrolling through your phone, but you're also not really like actively scrolling through your phone either. You're just doing it because it's what you do. I'm hoping I'm not alone in that. It's just like a habitual. You just like start scrolling and and there was something that caught my attention and made me go, what? And that was this John Gruden story. In case you haven't heard about it, because it was, I think it didn't break until yesterday evening, Friday evening. And that would be the kind of, you know, thing that'd be easy to miss. It's also not digestible in 2 seconds, right? You have to actually figure out the ins and outs of the story. But essentially, John Gruden, one of his emails from, I guess, 10 years ago, is now out in the public sphere, because there's an ongoing investigation into the Washington football team from then. And as part of this investigation, it's a workplace misconduct investigation into the Washington football team. And I guess, you know, that the league is having to review 700,000 emails or something like that, you know, crazy amount of emails as part of this investigation. And one of them happened to be an email correspondence from John Gruden to, I believe, Bruce Allen, who was running the football team at the time. And this was when, I also think, if I have the timeline right, this was when Gruden was at ESPN as an announcer. This is obviously predating what he's doing right now. This 10 years ago is a long time. Obviously, you know, predating what he's doing now. But in the email, that's I guess that's the part of it that stands out the most to me, or stood out the most to me, that it's in email. You know, there's one thing when you see like a report where so-and-so said someone said this, or, you know, according to multiple people, someone said this. But it's written in an email. And I think that is what's going to make this story stick a little bit. So Damaris Smith, who is the executive director of the NFL Players Association, and there's been a whole thing going on with him and whether he would keep that job, wound up, I believe, keeping it via vote last night. But this is, we're talking a timeline when there was the possibility of a lockout with the NFL and all that. And that's one of the defenses, I guess, Gruden has made for the language he used, or the phrasing he used in this email. But it was an insult to Damaris Smith, is essentially what I'm getting to. And this insult to Damaris Smith both called him dumb, with a pun around his name, and this is the one that's going to cause the problems, was insulting about the size of Damaris Smith's lips and the description therein of his lips. And I just read it, and it's ugly. The content of what Gruden sent. I was kind of surprised, to be honest. I mean, I've seen him run his mouth on the sideline and curse people out and all that, but just the direct insult, and then obviously the choice of words, because we have to get to the, you know, crux of this. Obviously, Damaris Smith is a black man, and insulting or calling out the size of the lips of a black man can clearly be taken as a racist remark, or I seen the way they write it in all these articles, a racist trope. I mean, I know that, right? Like, that's something I know, but it, nose and lips, you know, those are based upon the portrayal of African Americans in this country. In you know, there was all these old cartoons and minstrel cartoons and stuff like that, where it's ingrained in the history that is, you know, something people said with racist intent behind it when it comes to appearance. And that's how I've seen a lot of the news stories phrase this. Now, John Gruden defended that aspect of it, saying that he's never been racist, which, you know, we always hear. But that's what he said. And he explained it by saying that he uses rubber lips to describe someone who is lying. So I guess he's insinuating by saying that in his response that he was calling Damaris Smith a liar, and not there were no racist undertones in what he said. That's going to be a tough sell, I think. I mean, I hope, I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, that's just the way I am. I would prefer to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And I also hate the practice of digging up old stuff. You know, like, anytime somebody does something, everybody goes and rummages through their old tweets, or, you know, looks for anything they may have done in the past to tear them down, or to quote-unquote cancel them or whatnot. And I feel like that's just an unhealthy practice. It's just weird and unhealthy. So, in general, I really don't like that. This is a little different here because these came to light through an investigation. It's not like Twitter went and found old John Gruden comments. And it's also different because just the tone of what he said. I mean, I immediately read it and went, ugh. You know, like that was my initial reaction. And there's been quotes come out since. John Gruden said, "I'm ashamed I insulted D. Smith. I never had a racial thought when I used it. I'm embarrassed by what's out there. I certainly never meant for it to sound that bad." The NFL, meanwhile, also put out a statement. "The email from John Gruden denigrating Damaris Smith is appalling, abhorrent, and wholly contrary to the NFL's values. We condemn the statement and regret any harm that its publication may inflict on Mr. Smith or anyone else." The Raiders also put out a statement where they called the content of the email disturbing and not what the Raiders stand for. Damaris Smith also responded, telling the Wall Street Journal, who broke the story, "This is not the first racist comment that I've heard, and it probably will not be the last. This is a thick-skinned job for someone with dark skin, just like it always has been for people who look like me and work in corporate America. You know people are sometimes saying things behind your back that are racist, just like you see people talk and write about you using thinly coded and racist language." He continued and issued the statement to the journal. But this is not the kind of story, I think, that just goes away. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I tend to have a good sense of how things will play out. And that's not me even like personally saying anything. I'm just reading the tea leaves. I mean, the NFL had to respond swiftly. The Raiders had to respond swiftly. And this has just now hit the news cycle. Like, these type of stories get bigger sometimes as they get going. And it's the kind of thing, and again, like I said, 10 years ago, I even hate the fact that something from 10 years ago would come up on anybody, right? Like, I don't like that as a, you know, on principle. But despite that, the content of this is tough to get around. And I think it's going to be tough for the Raiders. This is the kind of thing I think, you know, John Gruden is at minimum going to face disciplinary action for. And I think he could lose his job over this, to be very honest. If I had to predict, I do think it probably eventually gets there. And the people who may ultimately determine that are his players, the players on the Raiders. How they handle his apology, how they feel about what he said. You know, that's a locker room filled with a lot of black men, obviously. And there may be many of them, black or white, to be honest with you. But obviously, you know, there's the racial aspect of this. But anybody could look at you sideways after you say something like that. And ultimately, I think how his players respond and how this makes them feel and the kind of things they say publicly about it or privately about it could determine Gruden's future or lack thereof with the Raiders. But this is not good. And it's in an email, which makes it even worse. I mean, I don't pretend to be holier than thou. You know, I guarantee I've said things I regret. You know, I guarantee I've done things. I know I've done things. I don't have to guarantee. I know I've done things I regret. I'm trying to think of it. Actually, I can think of things I've said. Nothing like this, but things I've said that I wish I could take back, right? That's not about me, like, sitting on a high horse or being holier than thou. But I never said nothing like that. And certainly never put anything like that in an email. Which just plainly, it's, you know, there's no, he said, there, nothing like that. It's in plain type. And if there's that email, it means there's more emails too. So we will see how this story develops. But I was taken aback when I saw it yesterday. And I, like I said, I don't think this is the kind of thing that just goes away. The Raiders have a problem on their hands that they're going to have to deal with. And it involves their head coach. What do the Raiders do about John Gruden? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. You know, and it looked like they were finally getting on the right track over there. It had taken a couple of years. They're sitting at 3-1 in the AFC West. But will their head coach last the rest of the season? That remains to be seen. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You can tweet at me about this John Gruden story we're talking right now. You can call in, of course, 855-212-4227. This is going to be a big story. John Gruden in an email 10 years ago, but as part of the Washington football team investigation, he was describing Demore Smith, the executive director of the NFL Players Association, one, as dumb, and two, insulted him, his appearance, by saying he had, in I'm not going to even use the terms, the exact phrasing he used. You can look it up. I mean, it's easy to see. It's in every story. But it, saying he had big lips, right? And obviously, I would think, I would hope everyone knew. You know, one, that's going to be taken as racist just off rip, right? And that's the way it's been phrased in every story I've read. You know, one would hope everyone knew that like, I guess the best defense is ignorance. You know, if you didn't know that he, like Gruden is saying, he called him a liar, essentially, is what Gruden was implying, that he calls liars rubber lips or something because they can't get the words out of their mouth. I forget the exact defense he used. But it's beyond my comprehension that someone wouldn't know, you know, not to. First of all, you don't say that about anybody. This is not something you say about another human being, regardless of, you know, what their makeup is, their background is, their color of their skin, right? Like, just like to be as insulting as he was. We've all had bad moments, of course, but in particular, about a black man, you know, the size of the lips being harkening back to portrayals, racist portrayals over the years. So it's going to be tough to get around. This is going to be a big story. And the Raiders, you could tell the NFL and the Raiders both knew that immediately. The NFL immediately put out a statement calling it abhorrent. The Raiders immediately put out a statement saying it was disturbing, I believe. Yeah, disturbing, not what the Raiders stand for. And this is not something that's just going to go away. And I hate something from 10 years ago coming up on anybody. But this is tough. It's tough to get around this one. And ultimately, I think how Gruden's players respond could determine how far this goes. But I believe at minimum, Gruden is facing disciplinary action. And I wouldn't be surprised if he lost his job over this. What do you think? 855-212-4227. I'll tell you somebody who's happy about it. Urban Meyer. That's the only person who read that story and was probably happy about it. Get to his situation a little bit later. Let's go to Austin in Jersey. Austin, you're up first here on the Robin Lundberg Show. What's going on?
Hey, Robin, how are you? It's been a while since we've spoken, man.
What's good, dude? How are you?
Okay, man, thanks. Pretty good. I like to say that there's so many things that one can read into this and can extrapolate from this, but first of all, I am wary of the extreme problems with cancel culture, but a history is still a history, so you can't then say, because we question what people do in the past, especially when they say things that are so thorny, that we ignore that because to acknowledge it is to engage in cancel culture. That's too simplistic. Second of all, we all have thoughts around race. So for Gruden to say, I never had any racial intent, but we all have these thoughts. But the reason that thoughtful among us think about what we're going to say before we say it, or what we're going to write before we write it. So, that doesn't make any sense. One final point I'd like to make is, you already have what I call the anti-PC police will say that this is what this is about. First of all, correcting historic wrongs isn't about being PC to begin with anyway. So that's a mislabeling situation. And those people are very selective anyway, because when people then challenge people like that baseball player whose name I don't want to mention right now, who has said a lot of vile stuff and is not likely to get into the Hall of Fame, they don't seem to have a problem with him. So the so-called anti-PC police don't have problems with all people. They're just very selective. Thanks, man. I'll listen up, and you take care, right?
Yeah, I appreciate the call. No, I think you made some good points there. There's certainly an anti-cancel culture sort of, movement out there. And cancel culture in itself is just, look, I can't take these daily controversies online. As Dave Chappelle said in his last special, he saw he was getting roasted on Twitter. He said, I don't care because Twitter's not a real place. I love Twitter, but there are these things on various social media platforms every day about like nothing. And it's just like, come on, this is what you're wasting your energy about? This is what you're angry about? And again, I hate the idea of something from somebody's past being dug up and thrown at them like, a decade later. At the same time, with that point of view, going in with that point of view, I read those comments and I was like, ugh, And I don't know how his players are going to feel about that. I can't speak on their behalf or feel for them. But I know I felt a type of way as a white guy. I felt the type of way just reading the use, the descriptive language and the verbiage he used. And in a locker room with a lot of, black players, I know it's not going to go over well. Like, that's just the truth. It's not going to go over well, period. How poorly it goes over could determine John Gruden's future there. But this is, it's not good. Let's just put it that way. It's not good. Cliff in Toronto. Cliff, you're up next. What's going on?
Yeah, morning, Robin. Listen, I think Gruden is going to find a few black guys, who is, he was friends with to kind of vouch for him. I don't think the Raiders are going to let him go because he's, 3 years into a 10-year contract? I don't think they're going to part ways with him for that. But, I'm not surprised, hearing this coming from John Gruden, because he's always struck me as somewhat immature. And as we see with some of these guys, even though they're older, your former president, classic example, making fun of an autistic child, Rush Limbaugh making fun of Michael J. Fox. So, it's not something that I find puzzling, put it that way. These guys tend to operate like that sometimes. And as far as Lamar Smith, I can understand.
Damar Smith.
Oh, so Damar Smith hasn't made the big deal out of it because he saw him just the same way I saw it. I'm a black man, and you hear these kind of things sometimes, and you just dismiss them and move on.
Well, yeah, I hear you. I don't know if that's going to be the case, you know, as this story generates more and more steam. Because here's like me, like, removing myself from, like, the actual, like, opinion of it, or even the reaction to the statement. Just reading the tea leaves of how this will go down, there's a lot that they're going to have to juggle here, because this is going to be really bad PR for the Raiders as it picks up more steam and more outlets talk about it. And then you have the internal situation with the players, like I said, and the combination of those two things is ultimately what will lead to the decision here. But you generally don't, maybe it's because they already had the emails from the investigation, you generally don't see statements put out as quickly as they were put out in this instance. And also, you know, I'll tell you, when Gruden, it's not even just the racist aspect of it, or the racial undertones, or however you want to phrase it. It's the fact that he called him dumb. There's a lot of irony in him calling him, in DeMaurice Smith, dumb, and I'll get to that coming up.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, the irony of John Gruden referring to DeMaurice Smith as dumb is very, very very strong. You look at this email that Gruden sent. I mean, think about that email. One, it's just ugly, again. And that's the number one reason this is going to be a big story, is just the ugliness of what he said. But he put it in an email. I mean, my goodness, how dumb can one be? All right, you could be hateful and ugly and rude and mean and racist or whatever. And all those things are bad, obviously, and you shouldn't say those type of things, just in general, duh. But the gall to type them in writing, that's beyond, I mean, the whole thing. This is bad. We'll see where it ultimately goes, but this story has legs. King Henry tweets in, I've seen tweets about Urban constantly, and I've only seen you comment on this. Raiders are 3-1, then this will be swept under the rug. Not completely, but the tone will be hesitant about this. Well, a couple things there. One, people like John Gruden, they don't like Urban Meyer. Right? Like, that always plays into how things are received, the likability of the figure involved. People do not like Urban Meyer. They do like John Gruden. You know, they see Frank Caliendo's impression and all that. They remember Gruden from the broadcast, so they don't want it to be. Two, it just happened. You know, this is not, you know, people haven't had a chance to talk about John Gruden. It's a Friday night news dump, essentially. So, trust me, people are going to be talking about John Gruden. Three, some people are uncomfortable with the topic matter here, especially white people talking about it, right? Like, and I told you at the top of the show, when I woke up to do the show, it's not like I'm like, yes, I get to talk about this. I had to watch, like, I had to think about every, I mean, I always think about what I say, but you think I'm not thinking about every word that comes out of my mouth when I'm talking about a story like this? That's not fun. But I'm not going to ignore it, because it's going to be a massive story. But, you know, that when you're dealing with something like race, and something where there's, you know, he's trying to leave it to interpretation in saying that he, let me just, one time I'll say what he actually said, just so you have the context in case you're listening. This is quote unquote from John Gruden. He said that DeMaurice Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires. Gruden is claiming that he uses the term rubber lips to refer to a guy he catches as lying. So he's trying to say that he called him a liar. Obviously, one, insulting anybody's appearance like that is just not necessary and rude and mean. But two, considering the depictions of black people in this country calling into question the size of someone's lips, a black person's lips, is taken as racist. It just is. I mean, that should be also like, I don't know how you couldn't have known that. So, to put in an email, and again, I hate when things from 10 years ago, I hate it. I hate it when I see people dig up everybody's past and try and throw it in their face all the time. And then like all these, I call them like mini controversies that we have all the time, usually over nothing. But I don't think this is one of those. Because I saw this, and as soon as I read those words, I'm like, ugh. Ultimately, I think, like I said, how his players respond might be the determining factor between whether this is a massive fine and a suspension, or he loses his job over it. And despite them being 3-1, I really, and you know, like I'm saying this not just, like, this is not my personal necessarily like what I think I would do. That's independent. What I'm saying is the way this is going to escalate, I think his job is not safe. I believe that. Let's go to Ramon in Indy. Ramon, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
How you doing? Thanks for my call. And as a close to 60-year-old black man, professional, healthcare professional, who just left a particular hospital in central Indiana where I was the only black man in my department working, to be called dumb, I'll get to the lip stuff in a second. To be called dumb or to be challenged intellectually, that just brings back more tropes than anything. My mother's an attorney. Imagine a black woman graduating from DePaul University in 1972 to become an attorney. Imagine that, people. For any white people listening, because you just brought up something great, it's uncomfortable for white people, and they got to start being more comfortable talking about this. Imagine being a black woman graduating from DePaul University in 1972 as an attorney, and you're fighting to get your first client because no one wants to trust a black woman in 1972 as an attorney. No one wants to trust her because you're taught to condition to either get a Jewish one or a white male because that's, they're more inclined to look better to a judge in the system. To call him dumb, any of us dumb, I've got more training and more certifications than the law can allow. I treat my people with humanity, dignity, and respect. That's what we're supposed to be out here doing. I don't understand why we can't treat people with humanity and respect and dignity. And I don't know the guy from Toronto. I've been to Canada a number of times, and I heard his comment. But we're in America here, and we've had some problems in the last 5 to 7, or even going back to President Obama's years, with just being just downright mean to people. And so we have to stop this. I don't care. His heart is now, what he wrote 10 years ago is still in his heart today. And then, and that's this. He shouldn't, maybe he shouldn't be fired. His fine should be lodged, and he should be made to go in every urban area school, because education is the best remedy, I think, to ignorance. So he should be made to go in every school in the urban districts around Vegas and sit and listen and learn and look at those children in the face and gain some humanity in himself, because that's probably what's lost. He's lost some humanity about himself. And then thirdly, why is it? I read that whole thing last night at work. He criticizes DeMarcus Smith because he said that
DeMaurice Smith.
He criticized DeMaurice Smith. He actually thought he was the cause of the lockout. Why is it that, and Gruden's not even in he's not, first of all, he's not a player at the time. I don't even think he's a coach at the time. He's working for ESPN. So why is it, can you guys answer me this going on? Because when I was in college, we studied the UAW situation and Flint, Michigan, and stuff like that, that Michael Moore was there, and that's some deep stuff. But why is it that the workers are always jumped on when there is a labor management issue? When you read what he says about that, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's always the workers are jumped on
from the media standpoint or from a public relations standpoint, and even the workers themselves, instead of the workers saying that, no, maybe management needs to be blamed. He's blaming Demaryius Smith for that situation. So it's just horrible all the way around. But as a black man who I consider myself to be pretty intelligent, I treat human beings with dignity and respect. That's what we do in the healthcare profession, of those of us who care about our profession, people. Dignity and respect is everything. Apply that to your regular lives, and we have a better planet. Thanks.
No, I'm with you. I mean, that's a hell of a last point. I mean, how could anyone argue with that? And that's part of it. Like, you know, just the tone in general toward another person, you know, in an email. And I can tell you this, Demaryius Smith is not dumb. I've spoken to him. And that is certainly not a word that I would use to describe him. Billy in Toronto. Billy, you're up next on the show. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Robin?
What's up, Billy?
Robin, listen, I couldn't agree more with the last couple of callers, but I'm going to go a little different here, and I hope it's accepted and not taken the wrong way. Robin, first of all, what Gruden said, if it's a one-off, I'll leave it up to the players and to decide whether he should stay. I mean, it's terrible. And you better believe they're going to be digging up other stuff. And if we start to see that there was something said 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 2 years ago, he's got to go. He's got to go. And it's as simple as that. I don't care. You know, I don't like hearing stuff that was brought up a long time ago and the guy's totally changed his ways and said, you know what? I messed up back then. I shouldn't have said that. That was bad. But we'll see what happens. But, Robin, where I want to go with this is in the last, I'm going to say probably the last 2 or 3 months, and I'm a white male, I've been called white trash on 2 separate occasions. One of them, I basically saved the kid's life, or he was going to get hit by a car. And his parents, who weren't watching, were nowhere near it. And I said, man, you got to watch out for your son. You can't be on your phone text. And I got that thrown at me. And then another time, a kid throwing all this food all over a parking lot so the seagulls could come. I said, young man, you shouldn't do that. I mean, you got 1,000 seagulls flying around here, and, you know, they're going to get run over, or somebody's going to stop to avoid them and get hit from. And this wasn't a young guy. This was an older man, and said to me and called me that name. So I can fully understand, and trust me, I've never had to put up with what African-American or Chinese-Americans have had to put up with. And I'm not trying to put me in the middle of it. But what really rankles me a lot in the sports industry, and it's usually by photographers, and they're usually white photographers, or not photographers, white reporters, who try to be cool by saying he's a nerdy white European. And that gets brought up a lot. And I don't like that, so I can fully understand what other people are going through. To summarize it as best as I can, let's just keep color out of everything, unless it's a racial issue and you have to talk about it. There's no need to bring this, to ever bring up color to describe something. You never have to do it unless it's an issue that wants to be talked about. And this is an issue, and I get it, Robin. But, you know, I'm starting to see just too much of this stuff. I thought we were getting better at it. And in Toronto here, and I call Toronto most African Americans just love Toronto. They love coming up here. They love this city because they think we are really fair. When you see kids walking down the street, it's not 4 black kids or 4 white kids or 4. It's always mixed. A white kid with a black kid with an Asian kid with a South Asian. We get along great with that stuff. But I guess my whole point to this is let's just keep damn color out of it. And like the last caller said, the world's going to be a lot better place. Thanks.
Well, I think it's not even about keeping color out of it. It's just treating people with respect, you know, treating each other with respect and having empathy for people. You don't talk to people like that, period, right? But you can't keep color out of certain conversations because of the historical significance of it and the difference of it. Like, somebody calls me white trash, shouldn't do it, right? But there's no history behind that. There's no, you know, discrimination behind that goes deep into how people are treated and even, you know, they're where they're at in life. You know, that's the difference. You know, the depictions in popular culture, again, with the lips comment, like minstrel cartoons and the like. Obviously, we know so many other things with the way black people have been treated in this country. So the words, the discrimination, all that stuff has a different weight to it because of the history. But no, you shouldn't talk to anybody like that. Of course. I mean, that should be the giant duh symbol. It shouldn't need to be said. And that's, I mean, part of what struck me about this John Gruden story is it's not just that, you know, it's two things. It's one, it's that he's just comfortable talking about somebody like that. And two, he put it in an email. I'd mentioned Urban Meyer before. Let me touch on that and what I think will happen there. But I want to continue to hear from you on John Gruden as well. 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.